underneath it, 25 of them, right? And it had like little ornaments you could put on the tree, right? And at the end there was a star and an angel and baby Jesus, of course, right? And so in our house, I don't know about you, but my sisters and I would argue about who would get to put what ornament up and when, right? And so then all of a sudden, you know, my mom's like, okay, fine, it will be like you, you know, the first, and you the second, you the third, blah, 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 blah. But then my sister's birthday's the 15th, and my birthday's Christmas Eve, and we had to make sure it all worked out that we could do that, right? And then you know how Christmas is, right? Things would get busy, you know, towards the middle or closer to the actual Christmas time. And we'd sometimes forget to put the little felt ornament up. Have you guys ever had that experience? And it's kind of silly, really, right? Because we know that Christmas is December 25th. We don't need to count down the days, right? We know when it is. We know when it's coming. But sometimes when we would forget those felt things, we'd have to put up a whole bunch of them at once, right? And add to the numbers on the tree. And I started to think about how we had missed the meaning of Advent. We celebrate at Christmas time Jesus' birth, right? And we know how he was born, we know who was there, we know what happened, we know it was a very special time in the life of Mary and Joseph, and of course all the people who were able to greet the baby, the shepherds, and eventually the Magi. But have we thought really about Christ's coming for the second time? I think this story is very interesting because Jesus is talking to his disciples about what will happen when he comes again. And I don't think that's unusual, really. I think all of us sort of wonder, how will the world end? And what will it be like? And there's lots of movies about it, right? There's even some that are kind of telling about the rapture or about the signs that are predicted in the prophecy of Joel and other places of Revelation, right, of what will happen when the world ends. What will happen when Jesus comes? Are you ready for him to come? Our expectations during Advent are filled with things that we believe should happen for the holiday to be perfect. Most people want a tree, right? Or at least a small one, or you want to go visit somebody who has a tree or get your picture taken in front of the tree. Most people want to say hi to Santa Claus, right? Father Christmas, who comes and brings blessings to children around the world at nighttime in their sleep, and they wake up and have these beautiful gifts. We want candles to be lit. We want carols to be sung. We want a pageant to be performed. And sometimes we expect too much. Sometimes we rush through those seasons, and sometimes we miss what would be considered mystery and wonder. And then it kind of happens quickly, like Christmas comes, and then December 26th is here, and everything goes back into the Christmas boxes and gets put away, and we forget about it till next Thanksgiving. I heard on the radio yesterday that Saturday after Thanksgiving is the number one day where around our nation people are setting up their Christmas trees. So I want to see a ray of hands. How many of you put up your Christmas tree yesterday? Anyone? Okay, just a couple. I did. So maybe you guys are a little behind. I'm just telling you, the rest of the nation, you know, spent yesterday buying their Christmas tree and putting it up, right? But Advent is not a season for human expectations. Advent is a season for divine hope. And hope, if you've ever experienced it, does not plan or predict. Hope is to be patient, for waiting for things unseen and unexpected. In Romans, Paul teaches us, for in hope we are saved. Hope is in what is seen, and then it's really not hope. For who hopes in what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it in the patience of the Lord. being able to trust in the future without expecting or controlling all of the details is putting our hope in God and can be a blessing. There is grace in watching and waiting for God. Jesus in this passage talks about Noah. Interesting topic to bring up at Christmas time. We don't really talk about Noah usually at this time of year, but who knows what happened, right? He was told to build a what? An ark, right? Okay, a large one, rather, right? And who was supposed to go in the ark? The animals, right? Two of every kind so they could reproduce, and also Noah's family, right? And also anyone who was righteous could get on the boat. So Noah, being a righteous man, supposedly, right, in the eyes of the Lord, would go around and talk to people about how, hey, a flood is coming. That's why I'm building this ark. You see this big ark in my backyard? So you might want to stop living a crazy life and focus on God. He went around and told everybody that, right? Come on, come worship the Lord. Come seek out that which is righteous, right? And what did the people in Noah's day do? They kept on partying. And not partying like for birthdays and a fun occasion or a glass of wine at Lurita Winery, right? Not that kind of relaxing, right? It was sort of a rebelliousness, right? That was not worthy of honor. So Christ teaches us to look to Noah for how we might prepare for him. We prepare our hearts for Christ to be born anew in us this Christmas. We prepare for him by teaching ourselves to be patient, to be hopeful, to be loving, and to look around us in our broken and hurting world and share the hope and promise that Christ will come again. And in the meantime, we walk in the light of the Lord. Now, I don't know how many of you like movies, but there was a movie once. It was about this guy who got stuck in an airport. He didn't have a residency, you know, really. He kind of was in between. His name was Victor. And it was a Steven Spielberg film called Terminal. Did anybody ever see it? It was sort of crazy. Yeah, right? This guy is kind of stuck. He doesn't have a home. He doesn't have a visa. He doesn't have a passport. He can't be really anywhere. And so he ends up living in the airport. And, you know, of course, as Hollywood does, he finds in love, you know, a love with Catherine Zeta-Jones, you know, this really attractive woman. And that certainly makes the time pass by a little easier for him. But all the same, it's sort of interesting to think about if we didn't really have a home, if we were sort of stuck in an airport, not knowing where we would be tomorrow and what we would call home. And it's interesting to think about what you would do in that span of time while you waited to find your home. What would you do? You could pray, you could sing, if you have a voice, or even if you don't, because nobody else is listening, really, you're by yourself, right? Or you could eat up a gorge, like I think he had access to snack machines, or I don't even know what, but, you know, you could eat a lot if you wanted. You could drink a lot if you wanted. You could be crazy, right? I mean, it's just you. What would you do in that time of waiting? Jesus instructs us to wait in faith, to know that Jesus will come at an unexpected hour. It could be tonight. We could miss Christmas here on earth, right? We could go up and be with him. And he teaches us that the most important commandments that we live by are to love one another as I have loved you. To be a disciple and to do what disciples do. At the end of his life, St. Francis of Assisi was asked, hey, if you knew that you were going to pass away, what would you do between now and then? How would you live your life? And St. Francis, I don't know if you know anything about him, but he was kind of the lover of the animals and of nature and all that kind of stuff, and he loved to be in the garden. And so he says, as this would sound like something we might say to ourselves, I will continue to cultivate my garden. If you're not living the way you would live if you knew you were dying, I think it might be time to change the way you live. For we do not know when the Messiah will come again. For now and forevermore. Amen. Today is our day we celebrate communion. Why do we come to this table? We come to remember Jesus' birth and